right. If you're tuning in online, which hopefully the online will stay online and not cut out tonight, hopefully, Galatians chapter 5. Been there just a little while, and we're nearing the end. We are on number 6 and 7 tonight, ending 6 and number 7 of the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Galatians 5:22, and it's fine here. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit, as compared to the works of the flesh in 19, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." And we find in tonight is goodness and faith. And you're blank there, starting the very first part of your page. There, goodness is the sixth fruit of the Spirit. We talked about before that fruit is we're gonna pick and choose. It is like a nine pods in a pea pod. If you were nine little peas in a pod, if you were there, please. It's a banana with nine bananas, a banana bunch with nine on it. It's all together. It's a grape thing with eight or nine big grapes on it. And so that's working together. It's not pick and choose. We are to work on all of the fruit of the Spirit. The study of goodness shows in the Bible that it's really a God-like trait. We're told that God is the God of all goodness. God's word is good. He says, what he says is good. What he teaches is good. What he commands is good. What he promises is good. We see God's goodness in his purpose. God, he saw everything after he had made it in Genesis 1:31, and it was very good. We have a good God. And this goodness is something the Spirit works in us. There are a lot of people who do good things, but this is a Spirit fruit, if you would, of goodness that we are to portray to other people. And Romans 8:28 reminds us that God is working all things together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. As we walk with him, God's working these things to help us to grow. That's what his purpose in us is, not to make our life easier, but to make really is to make us more like himself. So God gives good things. In James 1:17, every good gift and perfect gift. In Psalm 85 verse 12, we find that God gives us good things. Psalm 85 verse 12. You want to turn over there? I'm nearly there. Psalm 85, verse 12. A reminder, if you want to jot that in there with it. "Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase." Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Romans 12, verse 2. "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We serve a good God. Question number 4. Do you remember now the rich young ruler who came to Jesus? Mark chapter 10, verse 17. And remember what he calls him? I think you probably already know where we're going with this. Mark chapter 10, verse 17, if you would there. "And when he was gone forth unto the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, 'Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?' And Jesus said unto him, 'Why callest thou me what? Good. There is none good but one, and that is God.'" And how true that is. God's truly the only one that's genuinely good. We are not in ourselves genuinely good. We want to think that we are. You have but to observe the events in the last month to realize that humankind is not really good. We want to say they are, but they're not. So when the rich young ruler came, what did the rich young ruler call Jesus? Good. Question 5. Who did Jesus say was the only truly good one? And that was Christ. He's the only, God is good. Basically, he wanted the rich young ruler to search his soul. Now, if there had been anyone in the world who could say, "You know, I've done all these things. What have you done? I've kept all these commandments from my youth." But he probably was a very, 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 very good person. But that is not what saves us. So really, there's two possibilities. If you want to call me good, he said, you must call me God. And if you'll not call me God, you cannot call me good. For God is the only one who is genuinely part of intrinsic. Now, intrinsic means the basic inside who you are. Intrinsic character of God. He is holy. He is good. That's what he is. Perhaps in your outline says goodness was the most outstanding characteristic humans saw in the Lord or of the Lord. Consider Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Acts 10, 38, if you want to turn over there or get over there quickly. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Acts 10, 38. "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him." Are you a person that's known as going about doing good? I know a couple of me in here really are. Several of you are known about for doing good. You do a lot of good things for other people. Now, what would this be an evidence of the Spirit's anointing? Jesus going about doing good? Yes, because the Spirit had anointed him and he was doing the things that the Spirit led him to do. So how did Jesus demonstrate his anointing of the Spirit? He went about doing good. So what about people being filled with the Holy Spirit today? If we're filled with the Spirit, perhaps one of the greatest evidences we're going about doing what? Good. We ourselves are doing that. We're helping one another. We're encouraging one another. We're more concerned about others than ourselves. Question 6. If you had been looking for Jesus in Bible times, how would you have found him? I think you probably would have found him talking or helping one another or sharing the gospel. How you get to heaven? I'm the Messiah. Trust in me. Believe in me. Healing. Often he was healing or helping other people. That was his ministry. Teaching the disciples. Yes. But can you imagine? It would probably be unbelievable how many actual miracles he performed while here on earth. We have just, I think, a smattering of those chosen by the apostles to emphasize a certain point, etc., or to prove again that he was obviously proved clearly to the Jewish people that he was the Messiah. Question 7, how should people then at least in part find Christians today? They should find us what? Doing good. Doing good, yes, we should be helpful, we should be helping one another. One pastor had a rather crude layman who liked to go out visiting people, but he was rather rude at times, so the pastor gave him a list of delinquent church members and some church stationery and told him to write letters to all those who hadn't been coming to church for a while. Well, several weeks later, the church secretary received a letter from a lawyer with a $1,000 check inside and a little small note that said this: to whom it may concern, I received your letter and I want to remind you that there is only one T in dirty and there's no C in skunk. Only one T in dirty and no C in skunk. So he called him a dirty skunk, evidently. But that's not what we're... If I ask you to write a letter to someone or send a card of encouragement, dirty skunk would not be what I want you to put in there, etc. So the aim of the Holy Spirit then is to produce good people. That's why we're told that the fruit of the Spirit is goodness, and all goodness. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 9, the word all there is to underscore the value of goodness and the Spirit's purpose to produce that goodness in our lives. People have potential to do great good or great evil. I mean, you see it all the time. You see people who are training, and somehow have gotten on. Today is piano day. You have to know that because it's the 88th day in the year, and there's 88 keys on a piano. I did not even know that until, but I'm getting all these musical things. If you look at one thing for just a moment on Facebook, my goodness, the next time you go on, it's like, I got all these piano things coming in. I sort of like it. I got all these groups. I don't join them, but see all these beautiful pianos and things. It's great. But the piano teacher has a goal by being so difficult and just really be forceful, and sometimes a piano teacher, if you really, really, you know, they can be really very strict, if you want to call them that. I had a very strict piano teacher, my last piano teacher in college. She was very strict, and she made you toe the mark, if you would, Mrs. Herman. And so, but that's how she produced, not me, but some of the best really, really good pianists. Can you think then of a literary figure? We're talking about good and evil. A literary figure who would be the poster child for the struggle between good and evil? And I gave you a big clue here with Robert Louis Stevenson. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Good and evil. I think of the Hulk. he's an okay person, I guess. But when he gets angry, he's like, whoa, he's like, can't control himself. That shouldn't be, we should be the same. We should not have that. But there's that potential. I think Batman's probably just all bad now, pretty much. I think from what I hear. But we're supposed to, there's that potential for you and I. But as the Lord works in our lives, the goodness should overwhelm the bad, the difficulty, and we should be walking with Him and showing to the world what a true Christian is like. Human capacity to do evil is absolutely shocking. Read just about the Holocaust experiments the Nazis did on their own little Jewish children. How they infected them with germs and they just simply watched them die. And are we much better right now? I wonder sometimes. You know, though, the Hitler's high command, at least half of them had either masters or doctorates. I mean, they weren't like just people who were absolutely unlearned. And yet they did these things. Question 9, where do we see this evil in March of 2022? We see it in the way the people are treated in other countries. We see it in the abortion rights demands. It's become almost a hill they're going to die on, or going. It's like become the number one issue for so many
of the extremists in our own country that have to have this. We've got to have it. Ukraine, we see evil there, just attacking a country just so they can take over and bring back more control. China have a terrible human rights. The North Koreans, what a terrible human rights category. They are just absolutely devastated. Even I was reading just today that since we have left Afghanistan, there is universal poverty. Everything skyrocketed ever since we have left in this, what was it, 1 year now? Unless it's been a year yet. Everything has changed. Because people who, every culture, if you just think about it for just a moment, every culture that denies the Lord and superiority of God, it's a failing culture. The only culture that truly lasts is one that puts God first. Every other culture, you're doomed to fail. Marxism, socialism, any other kind of ism you want. If we don't put God where He's supposed to be, you're going to fail. It's interesting, there was a painter, Joseph William Turner, one of the greatest English landscape painters, was one of a committee whose business it was to arrange about hanging pictures set for the exhibition to the Royal Academy. The walls were always crowded when his attention was attracted by one that had been painted by an unknown artist from some distant town and who had no friend to advance his interest. "A good picture," exclaimed Turner, as soon as his critical eye rested on it. "It must be hung up," he said. "Impossible," replied the other members of the committee with one voice. "The arrangement cannot be disturbed. Quite impossible." "A good picture," persisted the Mr. Turner. "It must be hung up." And so saying, he took down one of his own pictures and put up the picture of Mr. Birds in his place. That's goodness. We can overcome our evil human nature and do good only as the Holy Spirit produces us Christians goodness. It's not exactly a natural trait of my personality or your personality. While human beings are demonstrated by various degrees goodness, we are not naturally good. Goodness is about the Holy Spirit working in my life. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. There was a little girl with a little curl right in the middle of her forehead. When she was good, she was very, very good. But when she was bad, she was very horrid. So often it's like us. If we're not careful, the goodness is overcome by the negative isms. Goodness can only come from God. Remember the rich young ruler who came to Christ? He spoke to him about the Ten Commandments. It seemed he had done all those things, but it is Christ who makes people good. He pronounced himself good, but his goodness was apart from Christ. The only true goodness comes from him. Question 10, to where can such a casual view of one's sinfulness lead a person? To Christ's eternity. If you think that you are good and somehow you're going to be able to earn your way or get your way or slide your way into heaven, etc., it doesn't work that way. I feel sad for Mr. Beck. I've been listening to him. My coworker listens to him from 9 to 12 every day. He says a lot of good things about God, but his own religion is Mormon, as far as I know, and he does not truly know Christ as personal Savior. But when Brother Fox is on there, he did not say anything negative about Christ being the Savior, etc., the only message, etc. And so maybe it's one day he will come to know Christ. I trust that he will. I'm not saying he doesn't. I'm not saying he's perfect, but we all need the Savior, do we not? That's what we all need, the Savior. And so some people we may not, and you may not want to, but he still, that was us. That was you and I before we came to know Christ. We were lost and undone as well. Were we not? We were. We may not have been as bad as other people. Vladimir Putin needs the Lord. That's the one thing he really, really... All the oligarchs in Russia, they need the Lord. Our leaders truly need the Lord. Not just a passing, somehow, tick that off my list. No, you really need the Lord. You really need... And if you did know the Lord, you'd be changed. The Lord changes us. He does. Does he not? He does. John Dresser said this, to do good is to see no duty too small to do, and to see no task too meager to tackle, to see no person too insignificant to encourage and lift, and to see no person too unimportant to help, to see no feet too unclean to stoop and wash. That's goodness. That's goodness. You are writing a gospel chapter each day by the words that you do, by the words that you say. Deeds that you do by the words that you say. Men see what you write, whether faithless or true. Say, what is the gospel according to you? And so I met the guy that, as you're turning, we're still back in Galatians 5, who is part of the East Park
He's the East Park representative working my building there. And he said, oh, I hear you're a pastor. He said, I got to be watching what I'm saying with all the pastors around here. And so that, yes. And so I told him I was pastoring. Oh, I better watch out with him. Nice gentleman. So I don't think he had anything to worry about. But we have to be careful. People are watching. Next one is faith. Number 7 is faith through the Spirit. The ultimate basic of the Christian life. Now, this word really, faith, here has carries the idea, if you would, as pistis there. It means really an attitude or act, a quality of faithfulness. So we're going to add to our lives long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith or faithfulness. We're going to be dependable. We're going to be loyal. We're going to be faithfulness. I'll tell my wife at different times, I said, well, you're truly loyal or really loyal. I said, well, I get it from my mama. And so that's, I think she gets her loyalty from her mother. And so it's a good thing to have. I tease her about it sometimes, but I'm glad for it. Faith is woven into the very fabric of the texture of our lives. It has no particular virtue of itself. What's so important is the object of our faith. Mr. Glenn Beck, as popular as he is, as well known as he is, as wealthy as he is, doing all these different things, his faith needs to be in Jesus alone, not in his church or his religion, if you would. It needs to be in Christ alone. Now, the spirit of this faith here is really, again, the idea is faithfulness. It's used 3 different ways in Galatians. In chapter 1, verse 23, talks about the faith referring to the substance or the content of the Christian gospel. Galatians 1, 23, the first time it's used here. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preached the faith which once he destroyed. The faith, the gospel message, the gospel, that's one way. That's your first blank is Christian gospel. Second is in Galatians 3:14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Talks about faith for salvation. So we are trusting in. And then here in 5:22, it means faithfulness. So we are to add to the Spirit works in our lives, the fruit of faithfulness, the aspect of the fruit of the Spirit. Not faith in the sense of belief in God or in the substance of Christian doctrine, but the faithful doing of our Christian duties unto the Lord and others. Page 3. Of course, faith should produce faithfulness. In a sense, faith is the root, is your blank, root, and faithfulness is the fruit. It's the root, and then faithfulness is it's like when your attitude is bad. It's like if I had a picture of something up here, if I had a picture of lemonade in here, if this was all lemonade, and so when I tip it up to pour it out, what's coming out? Only what's on the inside. Now I could wish Diet Mountain Dew came out of here. But if there's lemonade in there, in this case, salt water taffy, that's all going to come out. And so that's what we are, when we are, the root is faith. And when we have that root of faith in us, we're going to be faithful. That the faith, God's been faithful to us. We're going to be faithful. We're going to serve Him faithfully. Question number 1. How does and when does our society celebrate and recognize faithfulness? I can tell you, Mr. and Mrs. Skaggs just experienced that week before last. 54 years together. That's faithful. Some of you, I think, Mr. and Mrs. Lauderdale, aren't you over 50? Are you 50 years together now? How many years together? 52 years together. That's faithfulness. That's what it is. That's what it's about. That's the idea. Or how about perhaps a party or retirement party? How long had your sister worked at the bank? 40 some years? 40 years, and they had a retirement party when she retired. The illustration here was a gray-haired lady who was attending her retirement banquet after 40 years of service in the company, and the CEO presented her with a gold watch, a generous pension check, and thanked her for her faithfulness. Is faithfulness desired? Yes. When Mr. Dickens signs up to go get his load from over in West Virginia, you go get that? And he says he's going to do it. He goes, he's there. And they expect he's been faithful for so long. They're counting on him being there. When he goes at 7:30 in the morning, my job hours is, I'm going from 7:30 to 5:30 now. But I only have to work 4 days a week. So woohoo! I like the day off. The 7:30 to 5:30 is a long day, but all the people I know about that as well.
makes it for a long day. But they expect me to be there in the morning at 7:30 to sit at my seat and do the job they've asked me to do. They expect you to be faithful. Do you think companies today, question number two, recognize employees' faithfulness as they did in the past? I'm not sure, but I think parts of it too, we don't have employees who are faithful as they were in the past. We have, a different work ethic, which I see. Question number four, are Gen Z, iGen, Centennials, Millennials able to be labeled as more concerned about personal happiness than dependability and reliability? Well, there are some who are still today, young people who are very faithful to their job. But as a whole, I think our society has more of a relaxed, especially with the COVID, well, I don't know if I want to go back to work or not. Working is part of what God has really had us to do. If you're able to work. Yes. They're hiring people who are willing to come to work. Good point. Question number three, backing up, do you think that the current workforce sees the same need of faithfulness to their employment as we did in the past? Some say yes. Some may not. I think it's individually based. But faithfulness, whether it's 100 years ago or tomorrow, faithfulness, I think, especially if you are the employer, you appreciate your employee being faithful. I appreciate you being here on Wednesday night as a pastor. I mean, your faithfulness encourages me. You don't have to be here. There's a lot of other things. Probably think about garden to plant or planting your garden. I think the gentleman across the, I think it's like the fourth time he's mowed his front yard already. And so Gary Bishop, and he's a chainsaw master. And he is actually a world-class chainsaw carver. He really is world-class. He works for Husqvarna, hires him. He used to be one of the Husqvarna, travels all over America to do shows, et cetera. But we find in that he wants us to be faithful. We have to be faithful. Faithful, desired, and appreciated. I'm not sure if I appreciated it. I almost wanted to put out a memo in our neighborhood. The person that waits the longest to start the mow their yard for the first time gets a $500 gift card from Lowe's. But I didn't do that because I didn't have the $500 gift card, and I've already mowed mine already, and other people, I think my neighbor right next door hasn't mowed his yet, so he would have gotten a card. So, you know, right, there we go. As used in this context, faithfulness, we're still on page three toward the bottom, is being dependable in the discharge of our duties and in our devotion to people and principles. Drescher says, doing what comes spiritually. In this book, he said those words. Faithfulness, then, is the freedom, Eugene Peterson says, to be involved in long-term loyal commitments based on invisible values and meanings rather than immediate and tangible self-interest. Faithfulness. It's letting go of it's so often we offer the eternal on the altar of the temporary. We want this gratification now, and so we're going to do everything in this life we can to get things, get more things, do more things, and they're neglecting the truly important, the eternal. That's what truly is important. James Mayer, I love this definition of faithfulness. Faithfulness is doing your duty, is your blank, until your duty is done. Faithfulness, doing your duty, top at the bottom of page three, top of page four. Duty until your duty is done. God places a high premium on faithfulness. Matter of fact, in Hebrews 3:5, and Moses was very faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. Question five, on the day of Pentecost, suddenly the disciples were completely faithful, but they had been very faithless. What made the difference between faithless to now they're faithful? The Holy Spirit is working in their heart and changed them. He's producing the grace of faithfulness in and through them. It's presented in 1 Corinthians 12:9 as a spiritual gift. It makes power possible. How is it the missionaries went for their entire lives across the oceans or into William Carey? How did he go to India and stay there? It's because the power of faith he had from God gave him this faith and the power through faith to stay. What would you say is convincing evidence of a spirit-filled Christian, the ability to do miracles? No. Sensational preaching? No. How about dependability and reliability? Mr. Carey, after 8 years as a missionary in India, saw very few visible results. A less committed person might have given up. William Carey even stayed on and wrote to a friend, pray for us that we may be faithful to the end. Do you know what Mr. Carey did? Just to give a smidgen of what he did, translated the Bible into over 40 different Indian languages or dialects, transformed the Bengali language, previously considered fit only for demons and women, into the foremost literary language of India. He wrote gospel ballads in Bengali to bring the Hindu love of music to the service of his Lord. He began dozens of schools for Indian children of all castes and launched the first college in Asia. He desired to develop the Indian mind and liberate it from the darkness and superstition. He was the first man to stand against the ruthless murders and widespread oppression of women. Women in India were being crushed by through polygamy, female infanticide, child marriage, and widow burning. It was William Carey who spent 25 years campaigning against widow burning. You know what widow burning is, right? You know what that was? Widow burning, if your husband died, you died with him on the fire. If I died, 3 days when I'm burned, Stephanie's on the pyre with me, alive. She dies as well. 25 years he fought against it, and finally William Carey, who stuck with it even though he saw very few results. I was thinking, and I tried to find a statistic where over 1 million people could trace their salvation experience back to William Carey. I couldn't find it again. I think I read that somewhere. I can't say with certainty. But those things we have from history, he was consistent. When he could have given up, he did not. Certainly the desire of every Christian is to hear, what, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what, not just welcome home. We want to hear, don't you want to hear, well done, yes. And then number one, God exemplifies faithfulness. Let us clearly say clearly, we learn from the Bible and from our personal experience with God that He is utterly faithful. We can stake our life and our eternity on His faithfulness. And before we pray, how about one or two testimonies from you? And we'll stop right there. How God proved Himself specifically faithful to you in your life. Testimony? How God proved Himself specifically faithful. Yes? Amen. Miss Karen, like specifically this year, Miss Karen, God has been exceedingly faithful to Bill and Karen, as to all of us, but specifically in her, what she's gone through last year. So praise the Lord for that. Cindy has last year, been going a year now, and eyes are doing well. Praise the Lord for His faithfulness. Mr. Womack almost got his eye knocked out about 3 weeks ago. The Lord watched over him. He can still see well. Text very well on Facebook still, so we can see those things. Mrs. Sluder has fallen, I think, 3 times now, and she's still here with us, still coming to church. Lord's watch over Dave has been sick different times, and his brother brought his brother through a difficult time last year. Lord's watch over Bill on the road there a couple of weeks ago when you were on the side of the road. Yes. And Friday, Mr. Skaggs has been sick the last 6 weeks. Mrs. Skaggs was sick on this past Sunday. Brought their grandson through many things there when he served. Mr. and Mrs. Lauderdale has been through. Mr. Lauderdale has pain every single day. Mrs. Lauderdale, we're praying for that. Mr. and Mrs. Green, she hasn't killed him yet, so the Lord's been gracious, faithful to her. And he's, yeah. Andrew's gotten a job this year and been able to have a ministry to the kids at school. Mr. McClure he can hear again now, and the Lord brought him through, ill this time. And Steve and Cindy have had many blessings. My wife and I have had blessings. So I'm just picking it out for all of us. I mean, how can we, in just that short a time, Mr. and Mrs. Porter had their granddaughter receive Christ as Savior and she'll be baptized this coming Sunday. So we have a lot to be thankful for. God is faithful. Let's rest on that. Let's pray. Lord, we're just thankful for the faithfulness of you to us, your word, your goodness, your kindness. And Lord, may we in turn forgive us for our lack of faithfulness to read your word, to pray, to praise you for your abundant blessing upon us. May we be people of the book. May we be people of praise. I ask all these things in Jesus' name. I pray. Amen.